Well, good morning and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. I would appreciate it if you took out your Bible and followed along. We're actually going to continue a series that I began a month ago on the subject of traits that matter. And this was based on one of the classes that the young people had, looking at leaders from the Old Testament and characteristics that they had. And why it was so significant is that their traits are a foundation for us in pleasing God. Hebrews chapter 11, specifically looking at faith, talks about through this they gained approval in God's eyes. And so here we're seeing something that mankind had that led them to be pleasing to God. And that sets an example for us. Hebrews 6 verses 11 through 15 urges us to imitate such men. James chapter 5 verses 10 through 11 looks at another man, looks at Job and says, follow his example. And 1 Peter 3 verses 5 through 6, that was in regards to women. And they, if they follow the example of the women in the Old Testament, that they can be also pleasing to God. And so here we have this list of traits. And what we did in the class is we focused on just one per individual. Said if we took this individual and we summarized them, focused their life into just one trait, what would it be? And what we looked at already was Abraham. And Abraham's trait was, without a doubt, faith. Now, that was something I did last month. Sounds like we're going to get another lesson on that a week from today. And I look forward to that because I love talking about and listening to the faith of Abraham. It is truly an incredible thing. And the truth is that we could put any person on this list. We could include the trait of faith. It is the foundational trait all people pleasing to God must have. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So everybody has faith. We're going to talk about Joseph this morning. And Joseph, he also had faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, his faith is pointed to. But we're going to leave faith aside now. We've got Abraham, Abraham's faith. What other traits are there that matter? Because there's so much more than just faith. And so with Joseph, what we're going to find is integrity. Joseph's last name we gave him was integrity. And integrity is a trait that really does matter. It is a trait that we see not just with Joseph, but with so many others, with Job. After Job has lost all of these things, Satan comes back in his presence and God says he is held fast to his integrity. This is what mattered about Job. He lost everything except for this trait, integrity. And then he loses his health and his wife comes to him and says, how long will you hold fast to your integrity? This is what mattered about Job, was his integrity. With Abimelech, in Genesis chapter 20, this is an interesting account, but in Genesis chapter 20, Abraham has come to town and out of fear has declared his wife to merely be his sister. And so it says, now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart, in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this, and I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. And so here you have Abimelech, and he is saved. Why? Because ultimately he was a man of integrity. And David, when God looks back about David in 1 Kings 9 and verse 4, he mentions the integrity of David's heart. And so what we saw, that already read for us just a moment ago, in Psalm 15, great question. Who can dwell in the Lord's tent? Who can spend time with God? Who can have that relationship with Him? And the answer is, he who has integrity. And then the rest of the psalm is really describing what integrity is. So integrity is a matter of great importance. And so while you're in Genesis, turn to Genesis chapter 39. And what I want to do is I want to read one account in Joseph's life that really illustrates his integrity. And it comes while he is a young man. Earlier in Genesis, what we discover is that when Joseph is 17 years old, he receives a dream from God. And when he relays that dream to his family, they get jealous, and only bad things happen to Joseph at that point, it seems. Ultimately, they take Joseph and they throw him in a pit, and they think about killing him, and then they decide there's no profit in that, so they sell him into slavery. And so Joseph is brought to a land that is not his own, with no ties, no family, a young man who is a slave in Egypt. And we pick up then in Genesis 39 in verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he's put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came into me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. So here we have this event that occurs in Joseph's life, one that most of us are fairly well familiar with. And the end result is it says, okay, everybody in the world has turned their back on Joseph, except God. God is still pleased with him, and God is still going to bless him. And so Joseph has just illustrated a trait that you and I want to have, because even if the whole world rejects us, we will still be pleasing to God, and that is all that ultimately matters. And so it is his integrity. And I want to consider then what this integrity is. We could describe integrity as saying holding to a sound moral character, as being innocent, having ethical principles, being honest. But Joseph illustrates it. It shows us integrity. Integrity, then, is doing what is right even when you can get away with doing what is wrong. Because Joseph says no to this woman who is tempting him, no to this woman who is enticing him. There's no one in the house. He has no family that's going to find out. He's not a part of any church. Joseph can do this and no one will know. He can get away with it. And for many in our country, that's all it takes to do something wrong, is if I can get away with it, it's okay. But that's not integrity. Integrity says, I will not do it even if I can get away with it. Integrity says that even when it what I want, even if I want it really badly, I won't do it if it's wrong. Integrity is not about how much you are tempted. It's about what's right and what's wrong. Now, it doesn't tell us a whole lot about Potiphar's wife, and quite frankly, it doesn't need to. It told us enough about Joseph. Joseph is a 17-year-old male. There may have been some time that has gone by. 17, let's put him in 17 to 20. You know what that makes him? I don't know. Let's say he's 5'6". He's a 5'6" bundle of hormones. That's what he is. That's what men are. I don't think women always understand that, but young men are just a bunch of hormones. It doesn't matter anything about Potiphar's wife. She is offering him the one thing that is on every guy's mind at that age constantly. And she is tempting him with it. And it doesn't matter. It's not about how beautiful she is. You notice he never says, "Ew, you're ugly." He never says anything like that. That's not what it's about. His reason for saying no isn't that he wasn't tempted. It isn't that she wasn't interesting or appealing. It's that he had integrity. Integrity does what is right, even when what is wrong is so desirable. Think about it with Jesus. It wasn't when Jesus is tempted by Satan. That is when Jesus is as hungry as you can get. It's been 40 days since he's eaten. But if it's sin against God, he will not do it, no matter how hungry he is. So no matter how much the world offers you, no matter how much pleasure, no matter how much money, integrity says wrong is wrong and right is right, and that guides my path, not temptation. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, by the way, says to flee from youthful lusts. These are lusts that are consistent with youth. So number three, integrity does what is right even when you are tempted over and over. Integrity isn't saying no once, but saying no again and again and again. In 39 and verse 10, she spoke to Joseph day after day. This constant temptation against him, but his integrity says no every day. That's integrity. Constantly overcoming temptation. And integrity is doing what is right even when what is wrong is. What is right is risky. So, it's not just anybody tempting Joseph. It's Joseph's master's wife. She can make his life miserable, more so than anybody else on the earth. And you know what she does? She makes his life miserable. It is a risk to cross her. But he still does it. If you look back in Psalm 15, one of the descriptions that was there. So Psalm 15, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness. Down at the bottom of verse 4 says, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Somebody who will make a promise that will ultimately hurt them, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the risk, doesn't matter the consequence. That's integrity. Put another way, look at three more things. Integrity is doing what is right simply because it is right. So Joseph, he starts explaining, she's offered this temptation to him, and Joseph says no, and here's his explanation for no. In Genesis 39, starting in verse 8, he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? His ultimate answer right there at the end was, here's why I'm not doing it. It's evil. Oh, that we were a people of integrity. And all that mattered in the world was determining what was right and what was wrong. And that was it. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. What's that passage say? I think some of you are familiar with it, especially parents. Parents probably have this one memorized more than children. Parents are the ones who are always trying to get their children to memorize this one. Obey your children in the Lord, for this is right. Did I get the wrong passage up there? What did I say? Oh. My parents had a different rule, apparently. Oh, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That was your favorite sermon there for a second. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the sermon's lost. You know, they say, if there's one thing you'll remember, it's already, that was it. That's the one thing you're going to remember. Do what is right because it is right. That's integrity. Do what is right because it's your responsibility. Isn't that what he's saying here? He's saying, the master has put me in charge of everything. I can have anything except you. I have this responsibility. Stay away from you. That's my responsibility. Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. It was his responsibility to say no. Consider, integrity considers its responsibility and upholds it. You have been granted responsibility. You have been entrusted. Matthew chapter 25 verses 14 through 30 is the parable of the talents. It is this parable that says God has given us some things and now he expects us to use it properly, not improperly. Specifically, and what relates so well with Joseph is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What is such a challenge for us in our society? Oh, let's be honest, this has been a challenge in many, many societies throughout time. For you know what commandment we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That is a description that says your body has been given to you, and along with it is a responsibility to keep yourself pure, to keep yourself innocent. And so he goes on, he says, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. The reason why we should say no to sexual sins, the reason why we should say no to all sins, is that is our responsibility in this world. That's integrity. And finally, integrity is doing what is right no matter what you have to leave behind. It's interesting. In Genesis 39, when you have Joseph, what he left behind was the most incriminating evidence he could leave behind. Left behind his clothes. And that was the evidence that she could use then against him. Say, behold, look what he did. Here's the clothes. Here's the evidence. Here's the proof. But integrity, it doesn't concern ourselves with how we look in this regard. It doesn't concern ourselves with what we have to leave behind. It only concerns ourselves with what is right. And so he left his clothes, his garment. Integrity means then that we will follow the truth no matter the sacrifice. In Matthew 10, verse 34 through 37, when Jesus talks about, I did not come to bring peace but a sword, he shows us this ultimate amount of sacrifice that may be required. He is here calling upon the integrity of mankind to follow God no matter the consequence. It says, do not think that I came to bring a peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You may have to leave behind your family. You may have to leave behind your job. You may have to leave behind your name, your reputation. But integrity will leave anything behind to do what's right and avoid what's wrong. So if we were going to look at Joseph, oh, there's so much about Joseph. We could really talk about his faith. We could talk about his endurance. But this chapter just really illustrates the greatness of Joseph, and it is just this. He was a man of unparalleled integrity. There aren't a lot of young men that would have overcome this temptation. He did. He showed us we can, and God showed us we should. So the question is, do we have this trait that matters? If somebody was to look at you and to summarize your life, would they see this as you? He is a man or a woman of integrity. I thank you for your time and for your attention, and I challenge you to meet this challenge, to be a people that do what's right because it's right, no matter the consequence. In that way, we will be pleasing to God. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to become one. We give you an opportunity to set aside the sins and the mistakes of your past that condemn your soul, to turn to Jesus, and through His great sacrifice and His blood, you can be cleansed, you can be adopted into the family of God, and have this hope of eternal life with Him. We encourage you to not wait to receive such a blessing, to not wait to get rid of such wickedness in your life, to become a Christian today. If you're not a Christian, but you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it's time to take action. It's time to confess your faith, to repent of your sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, it's time to come back and do what's right because it's right. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
What will you do with Jesus?